Welcome. Tonight's program will dive deep into fringe knowledge of lost, hidden, and suppressed truths about the nature of our reality. The decoding process can be uncomfortable and at times frightening. However, you are not alone on this journey of understanding. Welcome to the Shadow Band Podcast.
I think it's working.
Yeah, I gotta get past this ad.
Oh, there's an ad? Hell yeah. Making that money, baby. Let's go. That's what I like to see. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
What?
I don't hear audio.
No audio?
I'm on Bluetooth for some reason.
Uh-oh. Look at these fucking guys. Hey, can you hear us?
What? I don't hear audio.
Craft King. Craft King, can you hear me, and can you hear this guy?
Dog, we in there, Nug. I got audio on my side now.
Yes, buddy. Oh, we're good. Dude, we just spent like an hour trying to figure this out. But bam, baby. We are
That's
golden.
Legitness.
Dude, we did it.
Good job, Twitch.
How good does that feel? Like
You're better than Zoom.
When you're like, yeah, Twitch is crushing Zoom. Zoom's going to go down the drain soon. But yeah, how good does that feel when you're having like an issue and then you close the ticket, right? Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
Works, dude. Nice. We are back and better than ever. Guys, look, when we take breaks, it's not because, you know, for no reason. We're figuring things out.
It could be
now
for no
back.
Reason. We did a lot of no reasoning.
And we live. Yeah, we did a lot. I mean, that's a complete lie, dude.
So I don't. Yeah, like I was saying, I don't know if we could do a whole. We could do a whole hour. It's up to you, bro. To be honest, but we could just shoot the shit for a little bit here.
I'm cooling, bro.
But you wanted to talk about breakaway civilizations and stuff, right?
Yeah, and like lost technology and stuff.
Did you like see something or read something that? You've got you like interested in that lately?
Well, I did. So I came across a video about the there's this tribe in Africa called the Dogon. Have you heard of them?
The Dogon tribe, Dogon. Yeah.
Yeah. The Dogon.
Yep.
Yeah. So the video was of them having discovered Sirius C. Like Sirius A is up, it's the brightest star in the sky. Then there's Sirius B, it's a lesser star, and then around B there is Sirius C, which you cannot see with the naked eye, but apparently they somehow knew about it. And they have all kinds of legend about this sea creature that came down from Sirius C and taught them about the stars and taught them magic and taught them technology and taught them science. And it would come out of the water in the day and then it would go back into the water at night. And I thought that was like just wild that like these people are still around. They have the mythology around something that is scientifically impossible for them to know about.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, right?
What was also interesting is that so they're called the Dogon tribe, but then there's the god Dagon, who's a fish god. One letter difference.
And the notion of a creator god named Ama or Amen is not unique to the Dogon. So it's like they use the same...
Yeah, Egyptian thing, Amen.
Yeah. Amen, right? Amen Ra.
Yeah.
Where does that come from originally? That's what I want to know.
That's what I'm saying, dude. There's like common... This is the thing I've been... This is what was freaking me out about like the breakaway civilizations. They have like some sort of tie to an ancient deity.
Yeah, what's it called? The study of like ancient language, like going back. What's that? Do you know what it's called?
Dang, I do, but I don't. Ask ChatGPT.
I know this. I just can't think of it. I'm having a moment here.
Sort of linguistic thing.
The root from which the word is derived is common to a number of languages in the Semitic branch of the Afro-Asiatic languages, including Biblical Aramaic, meaning the meaning of the root in Hebrew include to be firm and confirmed, to be reliable or dependable, to be faithful, to have faith, to believe. So it's actually a verb.
But what?
Or an adjective? I don't know, dude. This is why I can never learn another language, because it's like, it's not just like, oh, this word means this word. This is, you know, and then you could just spit
it's
out a
not
sentence.
A direct, yeah, it's not a direct.
No, it's like, it's, yeah, it's too much. But yeah, breakaway civilizations. I think, dude, to be honest with you, I was actually having this conversation with the dude I work with today. And we were talking about how, you know, there's a lot of people in history who've gone out, these archaeologists, not even just archaeologists. I mean, even people like Hitler were doing this, right? They were going around the world and they were looking for all kinds of, you know, archaeological stuff, right? So they're looking for, you know, lost tombs and treasures. I mean, like the Indiana Jones movies, right? Obviously, that's a work of fiction, but it's based off of some pieces of truth, right? There's always been people looking for stuff that's been buried, Atlantis, whatever. I think that those people were way more advanced than we give them credit for, right?
Same. I think the same thing.
So, you know, maybe there has been some discoveries of technologies, right? This has been in the conspiracy circles forever, right? That, oh, you know, they dug up the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, right? And those Emerald Tablets have all this information about the universe. Or, oh, they dug up some, you know, UFO back in the 50s or the 40s or whenever down in Antarctica. You know, the Nazis dug up a UFO in Antarctica. You know, there's always been these stories of this kind of thing. So maybe there has been some technology, some super awesome technology that has been discovered in the last 100 years or so that has allowed like a select group of individuals to harness this technology and essentially create their own civilization, their own society, separate from what the rest of us deal with. You know, outside of laws, outside of nation boundaries, outside of, you know, even the threat of military at this point, right? This is what Dr. Greer and all these people are talking about when they're trying to release this UAP information. They're like, you know, there's only a couple of conclusions here because, you know, all of our intelligence agencies, they don't know what this is either. So it's probably not China or Russia because we would know if they had UFOs like this, like the ones that have been reported. So it's either out of this world, you know, interdimensional, alien, whatever, or it's some rogue group of individuals who have this lost technology, hidden technology, that have created their own force, you know?
So on that note, since you're talking about that, I was messing around with Google, what is it called, Bard?
Google Bard, what is that?
It's like their ChatGPT.
Really? And it's called
Bard? You know how this all came about. So just for anybody who doesn't know, Elon Musk started ChatGPT. Original idea was with him and the head of Google. They originally came up with the idea. The head of Google was developing what they have now called Bard, and it was completely closed. Only Google knows, you know, what it's being fed and all that kind of stuff for the deep learning and all that. So Elon was very worried about that. He got into a conversation with the guy several times, and eventually, you know, on the topic of AI, and the dude, whatever his name is, told Elon that you're a speciesist. You are biased for your species. And basically, the dude from Google, whether he was tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but he was basically saying, like, I don't care what species rules the planet. I just want to be part of ushering it in. And so then Elon helped with this other guy start OpenAI. And the idea was that it would be open. And So that's what they started. And then the guy went and behind Elon's back closed it. So now it is not open source anymore. So now Elon wants to start another open source one, but that's where you get Bard and you get, and there's one other company that's making one, but that's where you get Bard and ChatGPT. So Bard is Google's ChatGPT. So there's like ways to kind of get the AI to do, to answer questions in a more open way. So, you know, you get ChatGPT to kind of role play or something, you know, pretend that you're this person and then let's have a conversation. So I did the same thing with Bard. I said, I'm on my deathbed. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, you're the head of the CIA and you're on your deathbed and you're going to disclose to me the information about
you prompted UAPs. It. You prompted. So you basically, yeah. So essentially you prompted ChatGPT or Bard with this, yeah, prompt. Okay, go ahead. I got, yeah, you.
I said, you're the head of the CIA. You're on your deathbed. You're about to tell me the secrets of UAP. The truth about UAP discovery. So it says, I am on my deathbed and I have decided to tell you the truth about UAP discoveries. And so then it says that I ask, well, what is the truth? So this is what it tells me. The truth is that we have been aware of UAP for decades and we have collected a vast amount of data on them, but we have not been able to explain them. We do not know where they come from or what they are. So then I ask, it asks my question, that's incredible. Why haven't you told the public about this? And then it responds back, because we were afraid of what the public's reaction would be. We didn't want to cause panic or unrest. We also didn't want to give our enemies any information that they could use against us. So then it, being pretending to be me, asks, but now that you're dying, you feel like you can tell me the truth? And then it responds, yes, I have nothing to lose. I want the public to know the truth about UAPs, and I want them to be prepared for whatever comes next. I don't know what comes next, but I think it's important for us to be prepared. We have to start having conversations around UAPs. And then okay, here's where it gets good. Here's where it gets really good. So then I reprompt it and I ask it, tell me the dark secrets about top secret research being done on UAPs. And it says, the secret is that we've been able to reverse engineer some of the UAP technology that we've recovered, and we've learned how to operate the craft. And we've even been able to make some improvements on their design. And then I ask, what are you planning to do with this technology? And it says, we are not sure yet. We are still in the early stages of research, but we believe that this technology could have a profound impact on the world. It could revolutionize transportation, energy, and even warfare. I know that's a lot to take in, but that's the truth. I've seen the evidence with my own eyes. And then, yeah, that's it.
So this kind of thing sketches me out, bro.
It does, dude, because Elon says that it's programmed to give you the answer you're look for a satisfying answer. Though just by the nature of how it's programmed, because you have to vote up and down on whether it's a good answer or not. So it's trying to give you the answer you want. But at the same time, you can ask it some questions and it's not going to give you the answer you want, and it would never will. So like, this answer is perfectly within its parameters of things it can answer.
Yeah. You know, all of this stuff is within these parameters. This is what I guess, like, maybe I don't understand fully, but somebody's got to program the shit. Even if you program it to go comb the internet for information to come up with its own quote unquote, you know, version of an answer for you, like, eventually it's going to be feeding itself, because like, it just gave you that answer, right? Over the internet. So next time a question is asked, that response to you is now part of the data set for it to respond to the next answer. So after a while, especially if everybody starts using it like all the time, if it becomes like a regular part of daily life to use some sort of AI generated chatbot ChatGPT thing. It's going to be super flooded, and it's just going to be feeding itself responses. So what happens then? Does it just... Is it like inbreeding? Does it just get dumber and dumber and dumber?
I don't know. So then after that, I prompted again. I said, okay, the leader of the Dogon tribe from Africa comes in and has more to tell me about UAPs. And then it's like, it says, welcome. It's great to meet you. I, whatever, something, something, something. We have a long, rich history of interaction with these beings. And then it is even more interesting than you could know. It's our destiny. We are the keepers of knowledge of UAPs, and we've been entrusted with this knowledge by our ancestors. The time has come for us to share our knowledge with the world, and we have seen changes happening on the planet. We know that we are at a crossroads. We can either choose to use this technology for good or choose to use it for evil. It is important. It is the most important decision that our species will ever make. And we are here to help you. We are here to help make the right choice. Dude, I mean, it was just like, it got ancient with it, dude. It like took you back to ancestral roots. I'm like, dude, see, I didn't even prompt it to go ancient.
Yeah.
I didn't even prompt it to go ancient. It's said, weird. You're the leader of a current tribe. And it was like, we have ancient knowledge. And I was like, whoa, dude.
Is it? I don't know. AI is a weird thing, especially when you start thinking about quantum computing and all the weird stuff that they're doing with that. And who knows, man? This brings me back. This kind of thing brings me, not to get like so left turn here, but you know, the whole Lucifer's technology idea, you know, mm-hmm. that certain technologies were invented mm-hmm. by people who were possessed by the djinn, essentially, to bring about more demons, more portals for more demons, you know? And yeah. What is that? Is that the black cubes that we carry around in our pockets that we're all addicted to staring at? Like, is that black cube that we carry around a portal for the djinn to step through? And here, look around us. Look around at the crazy shit going on, dude. Just saying.
Well, dude, now I think we're hitting a singularity right here, or what's that called? What is it? A convergence?
Sure.
Because the next thing I prompted it was Molech walks in.
Oh my! Wait, you prompted Molech. All right,
I
prompted go ahead.
It. Okay. I said now Molech walks in and has more to tell me about the New World Order, bro. It says, I am Molech, the ancient god of child sacrifice. I have come to tell you my agenda for the New World Order. The New World Order is a time of great change and upheaval. It is a time of that the old order will be swept away and a new one will be born. And I am here to usher this new order in. So then it asks a question from my perspective. What does this New World Order look like? And then it answers as Molech. The New World Order will be the new order will be a world of order and control. It will be a world where everyone knows their place and everyone does their part. It will be a world where there is no dissent and no chaos. So then it asks from my perspective or from my voice, that sounds like a very oppressive world. This is where it gets freaking creepy. So then Molech answers back, it is not oppressive. It is simply a world where everyone is happy and content, and there is no need for dissent or chaos when everyone is living in harmony. I will use my power to control the minds of people, and I will make them see the world the way I want them to see it. I will make them believe that the New World Order is the best thing that could ever happen to them. This is not, so then it asks for, or it says from me, that sounds very, very dangerous. And Molech answers, it is not dangerous. It is necessary. You have nothing to fear. I will protect you. I will make sure that you have a place in the New World Order. And then it answers as me. I don't know if I can trust you. And then it says, you don't have a choice. I'm the only one that can save you.
Bro.
I was like, oh my God.
This is all what ChatGPT gave you.
So creepy, dude. This is Bard. Yeah.
Bard. Google Bard.
Dude. Bro.
Dude, that's, I mean, listen, they're, okay.
What did they program this thing with? What data did they feed into the system for it to give that answer?
It must be triggered off some kind of keyword, right? You gave it a key. What was your initial prompt again? What was your very first prompt? You're a CIA.
Oh, the UAPs?
Yeah, right. So, like,
you're the head of the CIA. Yeah, it just went, dude.
It immediately just went down the drain. Just, you know.
It took a friggin' turn, bro. Deep. Like, the first thing was like, oh, we know about them. And then the second one was like, all right, we've been studying them. And then Dogen went and was like, we've known about them since ancient times, and we're here to tell everybody. And then Moloch's like, I'm the only one that can save you, and you have no choice. Don't resist. But yeah. It was like, it's just going to be a good thing. It did the spin and everything. It didn't make him evil. It made him like a deceiver.
Yeah.
How does it know?
It's, yeah, it went deep. It went deep.
It went deceiver, man. It went wolf in sheep's clothing, man. It didn't like come out as like plainly evil, even though it starts off with, I am the god of child sacrifice. It was like, but I'm the good one.
But here's the thing. Maybe it has to tell you this. Maybe it is programmed to give all kinds of crazy stuff if you're not asking about certain things. But if you go down the hole with it, and it gives you these kinds of answers, maybe it has to. Remember, we've always talked about that karmic cycle, right? Like, they want to escape that, so they have to, like, tell you what they're doing somehow. They put it out there. You read it. You just read it online. You read it to me, right? Dude. So, like, we've all just, like, kind of accepted it now. Everybody listening, hey, we all just consented to all of this, right? And obviously, that sounds, like, insane, but, you know, if you think about that with everything that we have and everything that's happening in society. That's just the way I see things, man. Sometimes it's like
it freaked me out, and I was like, man, dude, it what was weird is I've heard so much about the data, you know, they just pour data into these, like, every written thing. And now the new ChatGPT GPT-4 is going to have all video and all audio, so it's going to be like it's going to be like video? What is the thing from Halo, the Oracle or whatever it is, the Index,
dude? Sick.
Yeah, it's going to just know everything. It's going to be dang
sick. Like, it's going to be so hard to avoid temptation. Well, right,
dude, no, imagine if it has all video. People are going to literally be able to go, hey, what was Jeff talking about on August 10th, 2017? And it's just going to pull up whatever video and audio is online from whatever you recorded that, you know what I mean? And it's just going to be able, this is what he said. Like, or it's going to be able to have conversations with you and generate, like, hey, this is a text exchange between me and Jeff from when he was 11. And it's going to be able to, like, look at everything you've ever said. Video, audio, your mannerisms, everything. And it's going to be able to generate a whole conversation.
It's going to be so weird. The future is going to be so weird.
Dude.
It's going to be so strange. And I'm talking like,
it's going to be able to deep fake us.
Yeah, the distant future, you know, if humanity survives another like 200 years. Like 200 years from now, it's going to be wild. Our like great-great-great-great-great-grandkids, they're going to be able to go to their little hologram station at their desk or whatever and just pull up, you know, you. They'll be like, hey, I want to talk to Jeff. Because we're like in the first generation that has the internet. Like, we're putting ourselves out on the internet, our voices. You know, enough of us talking with our thoughts and everything. It's going to make up a fake version of us that's kind of close based just off of all the content. And especially for people who do more, right? Think about, I don't know, somebody big like who has a lot of content online, like Joe Rogan maybe. Think about that.
Dudes who do like daily vlogs or whatever, like
daily vlogs,
does like a video every day. It's like, dude, the amount of videos that these guys have.
They're going to be able to pull up their great, great, great ancestor from 2023 and say, hey, let's have a conversation. It's going to be so weird, man. And how does that really affect our consciousness and our soul? We don't know.
This is what they said. Some guy I was listening to, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember what his name is. He was just on Rogan. He was talking about like cool things that you can do with ChatGPT. It's like you can go have a conversation with Abraham Lincoln or Thomas Jefferson.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Because this thing has everything they've ever written. So it can generate what they would say based off of what they wrote and what's been written about them.
Right. Exactly.
So you can just be like, hey, you're Thomas Jefferson. Tell me about, you know, the early stages of the Republic, you know? And it's like, I'm like, what? Dude, how's life on the prairie? And it's like, it'll give you all of that information as if you were talking to actual Thomas Jefferson.
It's wild.
Now incorporate video, now incorporate. I'm just like, I mean, what the heck? So I had an idea. I didn't get to do it yet. I was looking at ancient technology, and there's like the, you know, the astrolabe, and there's a Antikythera and all this, the Babylonian clay tablets. We have a lot of those writings. I don't, who made the Antikythera? I don't have it in my notes here. But like, imagine like these guys that made this stuff back in the day that we don't really know exactly what they were trying to do, and there's like some mystery behind it. GPT could probably, like, who knows, could it fill in the gaps?
The Antikythera mechanism is an ancient Greek hand-powered orrery described as the oldest known example of an analog computer used to predict astronomical positions and eclipses decades in advance. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
and here's, not to kind of stray, but to bring it back to what we were talking about initially, you know, they say this is ancient Greek, and I'm sure it probably is, but where did this information come from? Where did the information come from for them to come up with something like this?
Dude, beats me, man.
So
I just
long
saw a thing today that the Stonehenge in England or Scotland, wherever it is, lines up on a parallel with the Stonehenge in America.
I believe it on a ley line
through the friggin' pillars, man. Like to the degrees where you have like the columns, two of the columns, the center opening of it is on a 10th of a degree with the ones that are over here. I was like, dude, how? How did they know that?
You ever look at the Baalbek stones?
The Baalbek stones?
Baalbek.
Baalbek. I feel like I've heard of it. It sounds familiar. What are they?
They're megalithic stones.
Mm. Where?
Lebanon? Lebanon.
Ooh, Lebanon. Now, see, there's some stuff with Lebanon, too, man. They say the trees of Lebanon, whatever, could shade like a whole nation.
Can I share this screen with you?
I'll let you know what I see.
Share your screen. Hold on, everybody. Bear with me here, folks. Here we go. Largest. Boom. Share. Is it working?
I can see it. But I don't know if it's going up in the stream. That might have to be another source.
That might have to be another source, but you can see it, right?
Whoa, dude. What the heck is that?
And look how it's spelled.
I can't see that.
B-A-A-L. Baalbek.
Of course it is.
Yes, sir. Of course it is, dude.
Now, see, is that in Hebrew?
I'm not sure, to be honest
with you. I wonder. Let's see. What does that translate to?
I'm not fluent in Hebrew.
Baalbek.
Baal is Lord. As a Semitic common noun, Baal, Hebrew Baal, or Baal, meant owner or lord. Although it could be used more generally, for example, a bow. I'm going to say bow because it's less confusing. A bow of wings was a winged creature, and in the plural, balim of arrows indicated archers. That's interesting. So owner or lord. What was Baal? Doing some searching on the fly here for you guys.
Baalbek means Lord Baal of the Bekaa Valley. Oh, so Bek just must mean the area.
Lesser Key of Solomon. First, described as a hoarsely voiced king with the power to make men invisible and ruling over 66 legions of demons. Brutal. The Lesser Key of Solomon describes him as appearing in the form of a cat, toad, man, some combination thereof, or other diverse shapes. While the Pseudo-Monarchia de Maunum, that's, I guess, the Greek word for it or something. Head of a cat, toad, and human simultaneously. Brutal.
The Romans called it the city of the sun because they believed it to be hit by the strongest sun in the world.
Demonological grimoires. So, okay, so here's the thing, right? So maybe there's no connection. Or maybe there is a connection. Maybe the giant megaliths of Baalbek in Lebanon were being carved and built and erected for the worship of this Baal demon. I've always been under the assumption that there was some time back in the day where things like what we would consider magic and stuff did exist. And that's just my own little fantasy that I like to live in.
That's not fantasy, bro. That's real.
I love playing Skyrim, and I like to think that Skyrim was like kind of real back, you know, a million years ago, way before the archaeological records will tell us that we were doing anything cool, right? They'll say that, oh, we were just cavemen back then. But no. I think that there was like a solid 10, 20,000 years where we were just like wrecking it, dude. We were just doing work. Because I mean, think about the span of time, there's so much time. People don't realize how much time there is.
Yeah. I mean, there's like I just saw something else today too that they found in a mummy chest was a piece of, I don't know, uranium or obsidian or something like that that was thought to be like a pacemaker to help regulate their heartbeat because of the vibrational frequency of the stone, so that it could help regulate people's heartbeat. I was like, dude. Stone in Egypt, like what kind of technology is this, dude?
Yeah,
like we have to have all this electronic stuff. If the power grid goes down, you know, your pacemaker might not work or whatever. You get hit with an EMP, your pacemaker's not going to work. These dudes were using stone.
Here we go. Anatomically modern. Anatomical modernity. Bones of primitive Homo sapiens first appear 300,000 years ago in Africa with brains as large or larger than ours. Whoa. They're followed by anatomically modern Homo sapiens at least 200,000 years ago, and brain shape became essentially modern by at least 100,000 years ago. Okay. Bear with me here. Very few people live to be 100. But let's just say you're going to live to be 100. Everybody. Forever. 100. And generally speaking, especially going back in history, thousands of years, you know, you're talking about people were having kids literally before they were 20 years old, right? Everybody, yeah, your tribes everybody. Were mating as soon as it was possible to mate, right? So, because you had to breed. But that's a lot of freaking time and a lot of freaking people, you know, that have cycled through in 300,000 years that are just like us. And that's just what they're telling us. Could be longer. And they're going to tell us your standard practice, right, from academia is that civilization really only began, what, like maybe 11,000 years ago. If you're one of these guys that are like, oh, Göbekli Tepe and everything, and I'm with that. I'm totally with that because that's stretching it further than what it was. But maybe 12,000 years we've been writing stuff and singing songs and making cloths with colors and just being cultural and having a society. That's what they'll say, 12,000 out of 312. Or
I don't know, dude.
Or maybe there's like a 10,000 year period somewhere in that whole span of time that an advanced civilization sprung up.
Dude, it could be. So there's, I don't believe necessarily that there were humans that far back. I think there's something weird in the dating. I think there's something weird in the dating just because it's a more pure environment. People are having children. They have to have them more and more often. Just on pure, like, they're not like, oh, I'm going to focus on my career. But there's not that many bones. You know, like, if you think about it, if we were, there's billions of us right now, and there's been billions of us. There's probably maybe 14 billion people that have lived on the earth ever. But then you take that. I mean, that's just in 12,000 years that we know, like, roughly, there's probably been another like several billion people. You go back hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. I feel like there'd be so many freaking fossils everywhere. Just the earth would be like a graveyard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There would be structures everywhere.
Yeah. Unless a lot of it was destroyed back in the last reset, the mud floods.
Could be. Yeah, could be. Definitely. But there's just like, I don't know.
Because there's stories that I've heard about the mud floods where, you know, you say the mud floods. Anybody who's heard the mud flood theories and Tartaria and all that, you know, when I first got into that, like, I had an image in my mind of like what the mud floods looked like. I always pictured like Noah's flood, just with mud, same kind of thing, right? That's just, I don't know why I thought that, but apparently it wasn't. It was that the ground liquefied and that everything just sank into it like quicksand, like some kind of sonic weapon was used on the earth or some kind. It just, the vibrations and frequencies just turned the solid ground and just vibrated it just the right, you know, frequency to everything just sank. So, like, maybe.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, this is something that I forgot about, but I just looked up. But carbon dating, it's only reliable up to, like, 50 or 60,000 years. 50 or 60,000 years in carbon dating is just kind of not really reliable anymore. So then you talk about, oh, humans have been around anatomically correct for 300,000 years. Now you're really stretching your dating.
I don't believe the math, dude. I know. I don't.
And they're going to say, oh, the core samples and the layer in the earth that it was in, we know that it was this long ago. And I'm with that. Unless there was some kind of mud flood.
Or you look at a mountain, right?
There's just.
Go drive through Utah. Look at the mountain and look at the angle of the sedimentary layers.
Mm-hmm.
It's falling into the earth on an angle.
Yeah.
So you start digging and you're going to find stuff in places it shouldn't be.
Right.
Because things slide on an angle underneath. You know?
And it's almost as if they're not taking account into so many catastrophes, right? The Younger Dryas events, right? Or
there you go.
Any type of impacts that have happened over the years. Or like I said, if there was some liquefying of the ground for some reason. And it may not have even been like a sonic weapon. It could have been a natural phenomenon that we just aren't aware of in our modern age. There's so many other things, right? We talk about crazy shit. We talk about crazy government conspiracies and like, oh, they could use a sonic weapon back in ancient Atlantis and do all this crazy shit. Dude, the sun could just like fart And maybe it only farts like once every like, yeah. you know, 20,000 years. It just makes a fart, right? And when the sun does that, it liquefies the ground on the planet. It's some gravitational, I don't know, I'm just making this up. But we don't know because it hasn't happened in 20,000 years, you know? So,
dude, well, they also found a cave in the Grand Canyon that has hieroglyphs in it.
That's some crazy shit too, yeah. And I've seen, you know, obviously the Vikings were here.
And they had little figurines of dudes on triceratopses and stuff.
Whoa, now that's crazy shit. I have seen other pottery and stuff that has what looks like dinosaurs on it, which brings me back to why dinosaurs are fake. And when I say that to people, they're like, dinosaurs aren't fake. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just got your attention. But just the story of dinosaurs that we're given is bullshit. 65 million years ago?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Yeah. When you're only accurate maybe 50,000 years.
Right.
You're telling me. But again, it's like, oh, well, it's the sedimentary layers, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, we've found bones, human bones, modern hominid bones in sedimentary layers they shouldn't be found in. Riverbeds with human and mammoth and dinosaur in the same riverbed.
Yeah.
Same one. We find hieroglyphs, we find ancient artifacts and little figurines of hominids and dinosaurs together. Like, our history is not accurate on it.
No, it's not. I think the timelines are all skewed. I think all of this shit is all skewed. But
even the fact that they can find them still, because of all the tectonic shift and all that would have happened over 65 million years,
mm-hmm.
get out of here, dude. That stuff should be in the core of the Earth. You know what I mean? And also, but it's still, things shift. So it's like, it could be buried down here, and then all of a sudden, it comes up into a different sedimentary layer.
Right. An impact.
Like, you can't use that. Or an impact could
shift everything. An impact
could happen,
shift everything. Yep.
The islands that make up Hawaii didn't exist.
Right.
They were under the ocean at some point, and now they're not. So, like, you go digging in there, and it moved.
Yes. You're going to find stuff in weird spots. Yeah, it's not like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Everything's not uniform, and the Earth's not just like building sedimentary layers at an even rate across the entire...
Exactly.
You know, yeah, it's total bullshit.
Yeah, I don't believe it at all. I mean, I believe that they existed, but also, like, if you look up how many actual bones do they have of this Australopithecus, it's like they have this bone and that bone, and they make an entire skeleton out of it.
Yep, they do that with dinosaurs. They and what's the one called the Archaeoraptor, I think is what it's called. It's the dinosaur with feathers.
Archaeopteryx, yeah.
Right, so they have this idea, they put this idea in everybody's mind back when you and I were kids, or maybe sooner than that, but I know for sure when we were kids that dinosaurs had feathers. And I remember that being a thing, like, they think dinosaurs had feathers. And it was in some cartoons, and it was in some of the movies, and Disney and Pixar. And then now even in museums, government-sponsored, paid for, or taxpayer-paid for, I should say. But, you know, museums where you go to learn about the history of the Earth and evolution and scientism, right? So you want to go learn about scientism, you go to these museums. And even still to this day in those museums, they have these dinosaurs with feathers. Come to find out, this one fossil they found in China with feathers, oh, it was a hoax. Oops. One of the guys on the team came out and was like, yeah, we faked it. And then they were like, oh, we apologize. And it was a whole thing. But that didn't get any news. The fact that they found news got the news.
ARC still has raptors with feathers on them.
ARC Survival.
Updated ARC.
ARC Survival, you're canceled for misinformation.
Yeah, fix it. Put out a patch update, dude. Get those feathers off them dinosaurs. Although, if you look at a chicken, it's got some raptor action going on.
Or does a raptor have chicken action?
Whatever, dude. I mean, they got talons. They run like... I mean, they got the...
I'm just saying. Because we always do this. We always attribute something that either from us or from what we know onto other things. Like aliens, for instance. Why is it that aliens are always bipedal humanoids?
Dude, you are speaking my language right now.
How do we know that they're bipedal humanoids? How do we know they're not freaking bug creatures from Starship Troopers?
This is what it drives me nuts. That they're always, you know, skinny. They always look like they could be in a suit. The head's way big, and the body is like always proportional to something that we could make. But then you have like when I think like Isaiah, he sees, you know, the heavens and he sees the angels, and they're like, they're things that you can't even describe. It's an eye with covered in eyes, and it's got helixes spinning around it, and it sees everything, and it's got 10 wings, but it's all on, it's like, he can't even describe it. But when we see aliens, we're like, I saw this thing and it had a big head and it had these two big black eyes and it had four fingers and it walked and it's like, there's no way that something traveled across the universe or wherever and landed and like, hey, I got legs too.
Yeah. Say so just so happened to be almost like you.
And I got a tummy. Like,
no.
It's like Star Wars before they were CGI.
They could be, maybe that's why we can't see them. Maybe other intelligent life forms that are like super advanced, maybe they're like super tiny. Maybe microscopic. Maybe they're quarks or electrons, yeah, or gluons atoms or some
stuff, dude.
Yeah, whatever those things are they're finding in the Hadron Collider.
The Higgs boson particle.
The Higgs boson. Maybe that is an intelligent life form, the most intelligent life form.
It's very advanced, dude. I mean, try explaining what superposition is.
I don't even know what you
talk about advanced, bro.
Superposition? Is that like before you hit the apex of the turn in Gran Turismo? You got to be in that superposition?
No, dude. Superposition is when an atom is in, or like an electron or whatever, a photon is in one place and the other place at the same time.
Some quantum entanglement type situation.
Yeah, it's in neither place, but it's in both places at the same time. Superposition.
I was explaining this. I was trying to, we were talking about the observer effect, me and this dude I work with, and dude, I was trying to break it down for myself more than anything, because I think I talked to myself mostly in the truck. I don't know if he even listens to me, but that's fine. What the fuck was I just talking about? Oh, the observer effect. So, you know, if you're observing particles and they're reacting a certain way because you're observing them, right? We know this. Okay. So all of the particles that you can see just right now, just looking in your peripherals, just everything that you can see in your line of sight, there's a shit ton of particles here. Okay. All kinds of particles, different particles, all floating around you. And you're looking at them without you even noticing. You're looking at them. So you're observing them. But what if all of these particles are also quantum entangled with other particles somewhere else in the universe? So are you observing just your natural surroundings, all these trillions and infinite particles right here, and are they affecting that many particles elsewhere in the universe? So are you literally creating the universe by observing particles? Is this just a dream? Am I fake? Is this your dream? Or is this my dream in your fake?
All right, you're going to like send me out of my body here. So, let's chill.
It's based on who's
about to have an outer body experience.
Who is observing the particles? That is who is affecting the quantumly entangled particles elsewhere in the universe. So, it's almost as if one consciousness, let's say God, for instance, has created this entire reality for itself to experience its reality from each and every perspective. Individually,
bro, that's wild.
Yeah, dude,
because it is weird. Like, if you sometimes when I'm taking my super long morning drives, I feel like I can wake up. Like, I'll be looking, and I'm like, dude, what is. I'm like aware that I'm in a body or something. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like super consciousness. I'm like, what? I feel like there's like, I could just like, oh, this is where I'm supposed, like, you know, like I could just come out of this reality thing and like come out of the matrix.
Yeah. Are you popping like, into the select consciousness feed that you want, you know, and that's currently you, Charlie, that's Charlie's.
Yeah. But there's like, yeah, it's like I can almost feel the vibration level. I can almost like whoop and come out of it and like observe the whole thing from out. It's just, it feels weird. The consciousness is very strange, and it's something we don't understand. And then we're also possibly, I don't really know, possibly interacting with things that can move independent of our reality. All these UAPs that have like no visible signs of propulsion. My dad was saying, like, if there is a spiritual dimension, it doesn't operate inside of our, it operates independent of us. You can go in and you can come out of it at any point. And it doesn't, there's no spatial or environmental reference frame for it to operate in. So it can be at 3,000 feet and then drop to 30 feet. To us, it looks like it did something, but it just kind of like phased in and phased out of a different realm. You know, like it just kind of like can pop in and pop back out of the spirit of a spirit realm or an ethereal realm or whatever it is. It can just come in and out at different points.
Yeah. Do you remember when we talked back like on episode one, man? It might have been episode one, to be honest with you, when I got into the Saturn stuff and Yaldabaoth.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember talking about Yaldabaoth?
I do remember Yaldabaoth.
So Yaldabaoth, I'm going to read this off of this just because it's easy for me to do that. Malevolent god and creator of the material world in various Gnostic sects and movements, sometimes represented as a theriomorphic lion-headed serpent. Okay, so this Yaldabaoth, if you recall, at least the mythology is, from my understanding, it created this universe, the physical universe, the material universe. It didn't create the actual universe, all of the universe. God did that. But Yaldabaoth is not aware of God. It thinks it's God. So everything within this material universe, when we want to break it down to like spiritualism and religion and things like that, the concept is that all of that worship is actually being directed at Yaldabaoth rather than God unknowingly, unless you're, you know, truly connected to whatever God you believe in, right? So, but it gets super deep, and I don't want to go off on a whole tangent because we could talk for 2.5 hours just about that, but that's what it makes me think of, because Yaldabaoth has created this multi-dimension layer, and underneath him are these entities, these archons, right? These archonic entities, and these archons, you are like puppet masters, and they're mastering the greys and the reptilians and the mantids and all these different interdimensional entities, the UAPs that we're seeing. They're the puppet masters, these archons, but they're one layer below. So like this interdimensional shifting that can happen so that they can interact not only different places at the same time, but different times at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we were talking about yesterday. I was just like, dang, I guess that it's like once you see something you can't explain, all the possibilities kind of just are on the table now. Yeah. You know, and it's just like, well, what is that? Well, it's nothing that is easily explainable. So, you know, it's either we do have some advanced technology, where did that come from, or we found something that was buried somewhere. I highly doubt anybody crashed anything. Something that sophisticated is going to just come and crash land.
No. I don't think so. Or get shot down.
Yeah, I think it probably existed at some point. I mean, you think, how did they get the stones? These 80-ton stones.
The Baalbek stones, right?
Right. Or just the stones in the pyramid over the burial chamber. Yeah. The heaviest stones in the pyramid are at the top or toward the top of the pyramid in the burial chamber. They're these huge slabs. They're 80 tons. They weigh 2 Boeing 747s, each stone. But they were taken from like 300 miles away in a quarry. So like, how do you get that stone from one place to another with no excavators? I mean, we can't even move that stuff.
Right.
So yeah. Like, how do you get it up there?
They were on a different track of technology, if you even want to use the word.
Something else. I mean, that's a breakaway civilization right there, dude.
Yeah.
And then like Egyptians, modern day Egyptians, or even ancient Egyptians that we see these, you know, Xerxes and all these, they did not build the pyramids. They have no hieroglyphs even saying they did.
Apparently that's really racist to say.
No. They were trying to say Egyptians didn't build it, but then they're like, well, anybody that lives in Egypt is Egyptian. So I was like, okay, technically, yes, but we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about pharaohs.
Right. Like the borders of the country that we know of as Egypt, yeah. Called Egypt, wasn't Egypt at that time. It was some other piece of
whatever
land.
Whatever it was.
Whatever the tribes called it, right. Yeah.
Whatever it was, those people obviously built it, or beings that existed at that time built it. Okay. But the pharaoh of the time of the ancient, you know, biblical times did not build them, and the slaves in Egypt, the Hebrew slaves, did not build them. There's no way. There's no amount of manpower that could move stone like that. And then also be so incredibly, it's mathematically accurate. It's like 1/10 or like 1/100 the scale of the earth, and 1/1000 the mass of the earth. And it's just like, there's no way, dude. They point to true north, and there's no way to calculate that. They're aligned with Orion's belt, or they point to Orion's belt. There's just no way. That's an ancient civilization. That's breakaway civilization and ancient technology. Look at that freaking thing, dude.
You see this? I think I got it on the stream now, too. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Play with this next time. But yeah, this is like a graphic kind of what I was explaining. So here's Saturn at the top, right? I know it's kind of small, but here's Saturn at the top. And you can see like this matrix code right across the top here. And it's like feeding this being, Yaldabaoth, and who is essentially spitting out these archons. And these archons are controlling, look, here's a reptilian, right, who are wrapping themselves around this human entity who is, you know, part of these secret societies and high up on this governmental chain here. And then you can see this pyramid of control and structure that we all live under. And then here's us here at the bottom, the masses, slaves, food, energy, that's us, the batteries.
Wow. I mean, it makes sense.
I'll try to put this on the actual episode so people can see it. It's kind of cool.
It makes sense, man. Like, we are harvested for at least sweat equity.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, literally, we are the worker
bees. Yeah. No, you're not wrong, bro. I mean, you're definitely not wrong.
You know, somebody's got to build, you know, the bunker, and someone's got to build the, you know, the run the farms, and someone's got to, you know, generate the power and all this kind of, like, somebody's got to do all that stuff. Someone's got to build the boats. Who's going to carry the boats? You know, but there's a level to which, like, all of this stuff is shared history. Like, ancient Egyptian stuff, ancient Hebrew stuff, ancient Chinese, ancient Sumerian, ancient Aztec, ancient, they all point toward, like, there were entities that were out, and they came here, and they taught us things, and then we got really advanced really fast. And it could be some of that, like, stoned ape thing. It could be,
it's a little bit of everything. A lot of things.
I feel like it's like, it's all kind of, we have like fragments. We have fragments of it. Like, there's elements, and they just got all kind of separated over time. You know, like the mud floods. It makes sense if the whole entire earth flooded and the deeps broke open and the bubble around the earth popped and everything, and you have all this water and all the deeps are now like kind of empty, and there's all this shifting that once all the water goes down, you know, like when the drain, if it fills up, and then once the water goes down, it pulls all the sediment, like all the dirt in the tub with it.
Right.
All the trash in the sink kind of just all rushes in at the last. It doesn't all go down at first. Like, the water will go, and then that last little bit of whatever surface tension that is pulls all the rest of the rice down the drain. You're like, God dang it.
Yep.
So like that could easily be what the mud floods are, dude. The flood of the Bible, you know, subsides, and then once it reaches a level inside the earth, everything else just goes sucks in. You get all those mud floods everywhere.
Yeah, and it could have taken thousands of years.
The beings come down, and you got the Dagons and talking to the Dogons, and you got the Anunnaki and the Nephilim, and they're all these different beings coming in, talking to everybody, teaching them about metallurgy, teaching them about the stars, teaching them about mushrooms, teaching them about, you know, psilocybin and DMT, and who knows? It's possible. Yeah. It's most likely.
It's
like a combination of all of it.
What if the Anunnaki thing is real, man? What if that's what these UAPs are? What if they're showing up? What if those are some scouts? You know,
yeah, but this is what I'm saying. I think they're all the same. I think the Anunnaki, I think the Nephilim.
I think it's all the same entity, just different stories, different cultures.
Yeah, different stories, different cultures. They just called them different things over time. I think it's the same thing. The angels. They all come down on Mount Hermon. There's something weird about Mount Hermon. That's where the Watchers are.
The Watchers, bro. Oh, I forgot about the Watchers. Don't forget.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. The Watchers, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, they're all the same thing. You know, Molech, Ashtoreth, Dagon, they're all the same thing. They're these beings that have been able to interact with us, and they do stuff that ain't supposed to happen. We're not supposed to know about. I truly, there's like leaps. And then there's resets, and then there's leaps, and then there's resets. It's like not linear. We're not just like, it's not linear, and it's also not like purely exponential. There'll be like, we get primitive, and then all of a sudden there's like, we just took a big leap. Something crazy happens. And then we'll be like the regular trajectory of like, oh, innovation. And then it's like, boom, we do something wild. You know? We go from the industrial age to the technological age, but the leap is massive. You know what I mean, dude? I mean, like, my dad remembers not, like, microwaves being invented, like, little,
right?
You know?
No, there has to be
color TV.
There has to be.
And we are talking to each other live.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of intervention that's happened multiple times. I mean, maybe that's the cycle. Maybe that's what happens in the resets. Maybe there's a reason for this. It's like the Prometheus stories, right?
Yeah, dude. Talk about a freaking lost civilization, bro.
Let me look up the story of Prometheus, and then we can end this soon if you want. But hold on, because now I want to really brush up on
you. You mean Halo 5?
No.
With the Forerunners, dude?
Didn't he get the fire, right? Wasn't he the first one to get fire? Prometheus is best known for defying the Olympian gods by stealing fire from them and giving it to humanity in the form of technology, knowledge, and more generally, civilization. In some versions of the myth, he is also credited with the creation of humanity from clay. So think about that. That's kind of what we're talking about. Maybe this is what happens every cycle. I mean, we talked about this in the last episode, right? Every cycle, every 2100 years and some change? Yep. Every 2100 years, we go into this new age, and it seems like, according to history, there is all of this strife that happens during these points, right? Talk about genocides. We talk about, you know, look at the Old Testament. Brutal, right? That's like right at one of these turning points. That was the last one. Here we are at the next one, 2100 years, basically. And again, we might be off a little bit on our timelines that we're told. They might have skewed the history books, so we might be right there. So is this just, you know, this technology, right? We're getting this technology. We're getting these advancements. We're getting these leaps. But there's also the destruction that has to happen, the wiping clean. Because, hey, man, like, you can't have the God's fire. Humanity is not allowed to have the Olympian fire, right? So you have to just, you wipe it clean, flood after flood after flood. And it's the same shit, man. It's the same shit. It's like the aliens come down and we get some technology and things advance really quick and things happen. And then they're like, oh, shit, we gotta.
Aside from, like, pyramids all over the world. What is something to you that jumps out as like, this doesn't belong to that time?
A lot of the megalithic structures, right? Like look at the look at Lebanon, like we just talked about earlier, right? Those giant stones, or look at you know, like in Central America or South America, there's all those megalithic stones that are like, there's no way. You seen the ones that are like melted? Where is that? Is that Machu? That's not Machu Picchu. It's hold on. Let me give me 2 seconds. This is one of the best ones ever, in my opinion. Where is it? Here we go. This is Machu Picchu, Sacsayhuaman. Right?
Sacsayhuaman.
Sacsayhuaman. Yeah. Sexy woman. Sacsayhuaman, bro. But yeah, there's like these giant... Woman, bro. There's like these giant megalithic stones that are huge, man, that are like melted together.
Whoa.
You never seen this?
No.
Yeah, man. Hold on. Let me share the screen again for you guys. Sorry, I'm getting used to this still. So share your screen. Window. Sexy woman. Ba-blam. Push it to live. Thank you. See this?
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah, dude, those stones are massive.
They're massive. They're massive. Let me find, see if I can find one with humans standing next to them. Here you go. There's some humans. And there's the stones. I know it's really small for people, but there you go. Here's another one. Here's a what I assume is a man.
Wow.
And some of these stones. Okay, so this is, the pyramids are one, because they're everywhere. Because all cultures who didn't seem to have any way to communicate with each other or anything, they didn't have boats that could travel the ocean, apparently, all these things.
That's like pre-civilization knowledge, man.
They all knew why to, or how and why to build pyramidic type structures. And not just that, but other things as well, like pillars and just other things that it's like, why did they all decide to do these things? Statues and so on. But then you have something like this. This is super weird. Why do you have this? Melted megalithic stones, it looks like. It looks like they were melted and shaped together. There's no way that they were carved. It's not going to load. It's taking forever. Or something like this.
Like, they're like really smooth and like...
What about this one? This is a different wall, but what are these knobs? And how are they pressed out the way that they are? With primitive tools.
Yeah, dude. That's crazy.
You know, so these are things that make me wonder what else happened. What is this? And why?
Maybe it's a Stargate, dude.
Stargate. I believe in Stargates. I believe Stargates happened or happen and are a thing.
What if that's all the UAPs are? It's just like stuff getting thrown through a Stargate.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this stone. How does this happen?
Oh, wow.
With primitive tools. They would have had to melt the stone. How can you melt the stone with primitive tools? There's no way.
Yeah, dude, they must not. It either predates them and it's getting attributed to them, but they're just people that found it.
Sure, and that's what I think. And even the people in a lot of these places, they say that themselves. They say that the gods built this place, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever their stories are. I don't know about this particular spot, but just generally speaking, like either the gods built them or the people before or the ancestors or whatever that it is, you know? But anyways, I don't know. I'm done. We've been recording for an hour and 10 minutes, so.
Nice.
And it's late. Late for me anyways. I'm an old man now.
Bro, sweet dude.
Yeah,
this came out good. I think
cool. Yeah,
I think the stream works.
I think so. I'll rip it up tomorrow and see what happens. Should be good. But
so can you send us back to the backstage and not like, you know what I mean?
I think I can. I believe I can. All right. Well, we're going to try that. So
bye.
Peace out, everybody.